Job chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another one of the creatures that we see in your volume of nature, and pray that you will instruct us as we compare it with the words of Holy Writ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nature Retreat now, number 26. The Common Swift. When Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, before he and his wife fell into sin and rebelled against the Lord God, God gave him the privilege and responsibility to give names to every living creature on the face of the earth. It's recorded in Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. We can be sure that Adam gave meaningful names to these living creatures because he was created in the image of God and he was living in perfect perfection. Such was his knowledge that he could look at an animal or a bird, know what the characteristics of that animal or bird was, and give it a meaningful name. But then a few problems arose. First problem was that Adam rebelled against God along with his wife, and they lost much of what they had of his image and of their own knowledge. And secondly, second problem was that Adam died. And then what? I don't know who it was that gave a name to the common swift, but whoever it was really missed the real meaning of this remarkable bird, because nothing about it is common. There are different kinds of swifts. The first one that I came in contact was when I was a little child, and my father took me out into the yard close to evening time and showed me the chimney swift. And these chimney swifts would fly around in the air, and then they'd dive into the chimney of our house. And I always thought that was really neat to see that. They'd be flying around, they're catching insects, and all of a sudden dive into the chimney. One right after the other. They build their nests in chimneys. So that was my first acquaintance with a swift, a chimney swift. There's also another white-throated swift, which is named obviously because of its white throat. But then also there's the common swift, which in flight, as you see from the bulletin cover, very much resembles a barn swallow. You've got the same forked tail that the barn swallow has. I don't know how it happened that these scientists got together finally and began to see things right. Maybe they were having a conference and they broke for lunch and they were sitting out in the park. And they were looking up into the air, and they saw some of these common swifts flying around. And they came to the idea that, you know, these guys really like to fly. They really do. And I don't know how it unfolded when they left the nest. My own opinion, and that's all it is, would be that they didn't leave the nest one by one like common birds do. I think they all lined up on the top of the nest, and at a certain signal, they all jumped out and started flying and started singing, "Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sky." And that the Air Force adopted that as their official song. That's my opinion. Be that as it may, here are some common facts. Well, they're not common facts. They're amazing facts about the common swift that the scientists have come up with just recently when they started studying these birds. They found out that the birds are gregarious birds. They nest, roost, and they migrate together in groups, kind of like geese. Another thing they found out was that these are the record holders as far as flight in the air. They spend at least 80% of their time in the air. That's amazing. They just love to fly in the air. 80% or more of their life, they spend flying around up there. When the common swifts leave their breeding grounds in August for a migration to Central Africa, to the rainforests in West Africa, they never touch ground even once until they've returned. 10 months later. And have never touched ground from the time they leave till the time they get back to their breeding ground. 10 months! These guys really like to fly. Well, you bet they do. They can fly up to 75 miles an hour. They eat while they're on the air, on the wing, in the air. They don't land to eat. They eat up there in the air. They sleep in the air. It's amazing. Scientists can't figure out how they do that. With common swifts, anything is possible. Maybe they even sleep while they're flapping their wings. The scientists just don't know. Do they flap their wings when they're sleeping, or do they fly up real high and set their wings and glide and fall asleep and hope they don't hit the ground before they wake up? Huh? But they never do. They mate in the air. It's amazing. They fly at least 560 miles a day during the mating season. And the only time they leave the air and land on the earth in their life is when they lay eggs and raise their little ones. They can fly up as high as 2 miles into the air. Hardly see them. They normally live for a period of 20 years, and during that time, the scientists say that they can log over 3 million miles of flight time. 3 million miles they fly during their lifetime. Common swift? I don't think so. They're anything but common. So what do we make of all this? Job tells us this, which we've read in chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. "Ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee." Well, what do they teach us? What do they tell us? "Who knoweth not that in all these things the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?" In our day of supposedly sophisticated scientific knowledge, we miss a lot by not contemplating the volume of nature and what it can teach us about the Lord God who created it when we compare these creatures with Holy Writ. There are different things in nature that give us different characteristics of God or of ourselves, a lot of different things. But it seems to me that there are two beings or birds especially that go further than that and kind of outline for us the life which we as children of God are living during our time here on this earth. We've already studied one of them, and that was the Arctic tern, which, and I really love all of the things we've looked at in our nature retreats, but the Arctic tern probably would be number one on my list because it was entitled Lover of Light, Champions of Flight. That bird just loves the light, like a child of God loves the light of God's word. And that bird flies from the north side, North Pole, all the way down, follows the sun all the way down to the South Pole, and then follows the sun back all the way to the North Pole, making a round trip every year of its life. It's amazing. The common swift is equally as amazing, and maybe even more so. I don't think that you and I as children of God realize how differently we are living from the children of the devil with whom we rub elbows with every single day. I think of the words of Christ in Matthew 14, talking about the final day. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's kind of a dual nature. It was the worst of times, it was the best of times in those days. In those days, the wickedness of man had become great upon the earth. And it looked like the devil was holding full sway and evil was just breaking out all over the place. And this is why God decided to destroy everything with a flood. But at the same time, there was a commonness going on. That people were living one day at a time, just like they always did. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage. So it was both. It was the most evil time there had been, and yet at the same time, it was a very common time. Things were going on as they always had been. And the Son of God then gives us the meaning of this when he says, as an example, then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Well, what was the difference? I didn't see any. I see two farmers out in the field doing the same thing, and one is taken and the other's left. I see two women grinding at the mill, both doing the same thing. One's taken, the other's left. What is the difference? Well, the difference is not in what the human eye can see, because we can't see any difference. The difference is what is in the heart. And the one is doing everything to the honor and glory of God. The other is not. They're living their own life, their own way to please themselves. But outwardly, you can't tell the difference. 80% at least of the life of the common swallow is lived in the air. What is he teaching us? Flying up in the air. We think of Psalm 55, verse 6. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest. Now, isn't it true that sometimes we felt the same way? That it seems like everything's going wrong, things are going worse and worse and worse and worse. And if we could, we'd just fly up and get away from it all. Well, the common swift does. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, the years of our life are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And so the prayer of the psalm writer is answered. I wish I had wings of a dove, then I'd fly away. And God says, at the right time, you will fly away. And I'll give you the ability to do it. We could almost say you'd be like the common swallow. This is so comforting when we have loved ones who have died in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, not some scientist, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. God has this worked out so at the last day when Jesus Christ comes back, for the first time in all history, the whole family of God is going to be together. And then we're going to rise together as a family. Every one of us, every member of the family is there. Meet the Lord in the air, and together the whole family will walk into Christ's kingdom of glory. No one before another, all together. I just love this. And then he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We were not born to crawl around on the face of this earth. We were born to soar up into the heavens, like the common swallow does. They do their eating up there. What does that do for us? We do the same thing, even though we don't fly up in the air visibly to do it. But think of Proverbs 78, verse 24. These people had rained down manna upon heaven for them to eat, and were given them the corn of heaven. They were eating up in the sky and they didn't even know it. Only instead of them going up in the sky to get the food was coming down to them from heaven. It was manna, it was corn from heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit says. We would not know that unless he told us. We think of John 6:58. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat and are dead. Yeah, they ate manna, all right, it was bread from heaven, but they died. But he that eateth this bread shall live forever. And that bread is Jesus Christ. He is the true bread from heaven. What the manna pointed to, this is the antitype. And the antitype is always better and bigger than the type. There's always an up thing going on. Man did eat angels' food. He talked about the manna being angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. And then this gets down to the nitty-gritty in life. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This thing touches every second of our existence. And I don't think anything in creation shows us that to the degree that the common swallow does, which is anything but common. Everything they do up in the air. And whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, as a child of God, whether we sometimes realize it, and usually we probably don't. We're doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit to the honor and glory of God. This is exciting. There is no common work that we do here on this earth. The value of what you and I are doing comes from the one who tells us to do it. And if Jesus Christ tells me to go dig a ditch, that's the most important thing in the world for me to be doing. Why? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This covers every area of our life, every day. Scripture molds us as we read it. And this is something that no other book does. You have other man-made books that can make a little difference in your life and maybe change something here and there. But there is no book that can mold you like Holy Scripture. And it molds us a lot of times without us even realizing it. If you've ever seen the movie Blindside, there's a scene from that movie that's really fitting in what we're talking about here. A woman and a husband, her wife and husband, had adopted a black man who was almost penniless. He had no home, nowhere to sleep. They adopted him. He turned out to be an excellent football player. But they raised him, and they fed him and clothed him through high school. And the woman that was involved in the family there was talking during a coffee clutch with some of her friends and telling them about this person that was living in their house. He was a black man. And one of the women said to her, "You know, you have really made a big difference in that young man's life." And she said, "No, it's the other way around. He's made a difference in my life." And we can say that about Christ. He has made a difference in our life. The uncommon swift sleeps up in the air. They sleep up there. And I couldn't help but think of a psalm 4 verse 8, but I'm going to read the whole psalm because it's only eight verses long. Listen to the context of this. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, for thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." So some things are going wrong. Writer here is carrying very heavy crosses. He's in distress. He's under a lot of tension and pressure. And he's praying to God. "O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame?" You got people who are taking things that he did that were right and turning them into things that were wrong. Like, kind of like Judas Iscariot, when Mary broke the alabaster boxes of ointment, poured it on Christ's head, and Judas said, "To what purpose is this waste?" So he did. That's what was happening here. "How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" Selah. But then he turned his eyes to God. "But I know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself." I belong to God. I'm his. "The Lord shall hear me when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed." When you're sleeping. "And be still." Selah. "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put," listen to this one, "thou hast put gladness in my heart more than they at the time that their corn and wine increase." Think of what he's saying. As a child of God, you have more peace in your heart when you're on your deathbed than the heathen do when they've reached a bumper crop and everything's going well. You've got more peace in your heart than they do. That's amazing. And then he says this, the last verse, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. So here these common swifts, somehow or other, are floating around or flying around in the air, and they're sound asleep. They're not worried about one single thing. And they don't have to be. Consider the birds of the air. They'll teach you something. If only we have ears that can hear. And children, a lot of times now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's what the common swift is doing. Scientists still can't figure out how they do it. When Jacob had a dream one night, and remember what the context of this was. This was probably the first night that he had spent away from home in his whole life. He was mama's boy. His brother went out hunting. He was daddy's boy. And he stayed home in the tent. His mother, mommy's boy. And his brother wanted to kill him. So his mother said, you better hightail it out and get up here, go up north for a little while to your relatives. And then when your brother's anger stills and cools, then you can come back. Well, the little while turned out to be 20 years. But anyway, he left home. First time in his own life. He is fleeing for his life. This is where he's going. And finally the sun starts setting, gets dark. So he has to fall asleep right where he's at, and it's out in the middle of the boonies. Doesn't know where he's at, what he's doing. Find some stones and use them for a pillow. And then in one of the amazing night scenes of the Bible, God came to him. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And then God talked with him. And finally, Jacob woke up, and he said, he awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Well, yeah, the Lord was in that place. He didn't know it because he was sleeping. And even if he hadn't been, he couldn't have seen what he saw until God opened his eyes. But the point of it is, God is always with us. And that's the way it is with the common swift. They know God's watching over them. And so they fall asleep hours and hours and hours and hours on end, and they're flying up in the air doing that. Scientists can't figure out how they do it. What do we learn from it? Well, how do we know how much the Holy Spirit is giving us when we're sound asleep and we don't even know it? How are you going to know about that? Personally, I get quite a few ideas for my sermons during the nighttime when I'm sleeping and I wake up. And I've been studying for the text before that, but when I'm sound asleep and all of a sudden I get a good idea, and I've learned this through bitter experience, that when I get that, I better get up and go in my study and make a note. Because if I don't, the time I wake up, I've forgotten what it was. So God comforts us even in the night scenes when we're sleeping. Mating in the air also, and I think this is interesting. We know from Scripture the value of children. Every Christian parent knows the value of children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So it's interesting to me that the common swallow lives all of his life up in the air except when it comes down and touches ground, builds a nest, lays some eggs, and raises some little ones. That's the only thing that does it. And really, when you come right down to it, this is really the thought of a child of God. And the older you get, the more the Lord brings this out. in different ways. But there's nothing in this world that can satisfy the need that we have. We were not created to live for 70 or 80 years and then die. We were created to live with the Almighty God forever and the Son of God in His kingdom of glory. That's what we were created for, and that's what we're going for. And Paul reveals his own heart and your heart and mine when he says this, and I'm in the first chapter of Philippians, beginning of verse 21. For me to live is Christ, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things under. He wrote that. And that's what he's practicing, what he preaches. My purpose in living on this earth is Jesus Christ. And to get to know Him more and more and more. And honor and glorify God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's my purpose. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When death strikes, it's a gain for me. But if I live in the flesh, then this is the fruit of my labor. What I can do to His honor and glory living on this earth yet. The common swallow would say, you know, I'd rather be flying around up there in the air close to heaven. But if it's God's will that I stumble down on the earth and walk around for a while and build a nest and lay some eggs and raise some little ones, if that's His will, I will do it. And then Paul says, I am in a strait between two things. I'm being pulled both in both directions. Number one, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's one thing. The second thing that's pulling in the other way is, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And so, as Christian parents, yeah, our first preference would be to be up in heaven with the Son of God. But it's more needful for little children to be down here raising them. And so we do. That's all shown by the swallow. They spend their whole life on up in the heavens, except for when they're raising their little ones. I'm going to end this with a famous night scene, which we all know. I'm talking, of course, about the time when the old Nicodemus came and knocked on Jesus' door at night. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can that be? It doesn't make any sense. And Christ said, you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? When you say to me? And that's what the scientists are saying when they look at the common swallow, or the common swift. How can they do this? How can they be sleeping and still be flying? How can they do that? They don't know. They don't have any idea. They don't have answers. How can they leave their breeding ground, fly away, and come back 10 months later and they've not even touched the ground? How can they do that? We don't know. And that's what Nicodemus has said. How can these things be? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Ask the birds. They'll teach you. Ask the common swift. He'll teach you. At this time, we will...